Jeff, you bad
Welcome back, podcast world. I'm your host, Rasta Jeff. This is episode 850 of the Grow From Your Heart podcast. You know I've got another great episode lined up for us. In today's show, I'm going to give away free seeds. That's right. Hang out. We'll talk more about those free seeds later on in the podcast. I do also want to remind you that there is a fresh drop and a restock at iredirect.com. That's right. Check iredirect.com because I've replenished many of the sold out items. And speaking of free seeds, if you spend over $30 at iredirect.com, you do get a free 2-pack of feminized seeds at iredirect. Also, if you spend over $100, you get another 2-pack of free feminized seeds. That does continue at $30, $100, $200, $300, and $500. So the more you spend, the more freebies you do get. Of course, those freebies do stack. If you spend $100, you get that $30 freebie and the $100 freebie. That does continue. So hit iRedirect, check that restock, check that replenish, and grab your freebies at iRedirect.com. Something you may notice while you're checking my websites is that there has been a change to a popular strain name. That's right, the strain that was named after the little square chewy candy, we can no longer use that name that was being used. I don't think I can even say it right here, right now on the podcast without causing myself some trouble, because we got a little letter, more than a little letter. We got an important letter. We got an email that says we must cease and desist from using So I can say this in this phrase, I think, without getting in any trouble. From now on, we must cease and desist from using anything with the word Starburst in it. We can no longer use the word Starburst in any branding or advertising. I've got a very official letter here from the great folks at Mars Wrigley. The part that I will share with you says, to protect Mars Wrigley's valuable intellectual property and the consuming public, Mars Wrigley must ensure that its trademark are not misused by third parties. Well, guess who I am? I'm a third party. I was using the word Starburst in branding. They said, no, don't do that. They said, if you do that more, it's going to cost you a lot of fucking money. Guess what I don't want to do? I don't want to give them a lot of fucking money. So we're going to stop using that. That strain has been changed. That strain's actually been discontinued. I don't make it anymore. It hasn't been for sale for a while. All of the seeds are gone. So it's gone now. It's not part of the production. It's not part of the catalog any further. That problem has been solved. But they were very clear about the names that we can and cannot use. Anything with Skittles, Starburst, M&M's, Snickers, Twix, Lifesavers, Hubba Bubba, Milky Way, Three Musketeers. There are a long list of names that cannot be used. And then they go on in another page to make it clear that any form of Skittles or Starburst cannot be used in any association with any other brands. They've spelled it about 45 different ways in this paper just to let us know they're not fucking around. So if you do go to any of my websites and you see that that strain that was once named after that little tiny pink delicious chewy candy, that strain name has changed, it's because I got the old-fashioned cease and desist letter, so I had to change that name. I'm not up to anything fishy. I'm not trying to pull a fast one on you guys. It was a legal matter, and I had to take action quite quickly. I had to respond to them and let them know that I was going to change it and how I was going to correct this. So I responded to them. So far, I think we're in the clear all as well. This was just a, hey, fucker, stop before we get you a letter. So at this point, fucker has stopped. Hopefully, they don't come to get me. Now, let's move on to something more exciting. Ladies and gentlemen, the past weekend, I got to go see my favorite band on the planet for four nights in a row. That's right. I got to go see the band Phish at Dick's Sporting Goods. I don't even know the real name of the soccer field. It's a Dick's Sporting Goods Event Center, Sporting Goods Soccer Field. I don't even know what it's called. It is a gigantic soccer field in Denver, Colorado, in Commerce City. It is owned, of course, by Dick's Sporting Goods, so it's got the Dick's logo everywhere. That's right. We go. We are Phish Dick's for 4 days, and we love Dick's. It's a great time. Make all the jokes you want. It is worth it. But I got to see Phish for four nights. Some people are going to say you went and saw the same band four nights in a row. Yeah, bro. Phish will never do the same concert two nights in a row. They don't do anything similar. Nothing was similar four nights in a row. They did four completely different shows, completely different vibes, completely different songs, totally different energy. A lot of it was based on the vibe of the day, the vibe of the crowd. So yeah, it's a different show every single time at a Phish show. I've seen over 100 Phish shows. They are all different. They are all unique. I loved every one of them for its own way. What I'm getting at is I got to go see Phish for 4 days. It felt amazing. I haven't felt that free in a long time. I haven't felt that good, that irie, that blessed. in a very long time. It was a very good experience. Very good, rewarding end of the summer, if you will. It's kind of starting the fall now. The summer's wrapping up. I've got one more big party for the end of the summer, but that was toward the wrap up here for me. The next one might be fall because it might be hoodie season by the time that comes around. I'm rambling at this point. What I want to do now is give a big shout out to all of the beautiful people who said hello to me at the Phish concerts. If you walked by and just yelled Irie and put a thumbs up or a fist bump up in the air, Irie, bro, much love. Good seeing you. If you ran up and gave me a big old hug and told me it was good to see me, great to see you as well. If you're a fellow breeder and we traded something, good to see you. If you're a fellow breeder, we didn't trade. Perhaps we just danced for a song. I think it was 2001. Perhaps we got down during that. If you're a fellow breeder and you came to say hello, what's up, dude? If you're a little tiny dude that looks like Boo Boo Bear and you came and gave me a big old hug, there's two people that could qualify as holy shit. Anyway, if we saw each other at the Phish concerts and we bumped into each other, shared energy, exchanged vibes in any way, thank you. It was an honor, a blessing, a pleasure, a privilege to see you at the shows. I had such a good time this weekend. I feel like I could ramble about the concerts all weekend. Most of you guys are here to hear about ganja, learn about growing and cultivating cannabis, so I'm not going to gush too much over the Phish shows, but I feel refreshed. I feel revived. It was a great time. Big shout out to everybody that I saw there. If you're an old friend, a new friend, if you're a Phish friend, if you're a cannabis industry friend, however we met, however we know each other, if we shared a moment at Phish, you know, big up, big fist bump, thank you. And I say this a lot of times. If you know who I am, if you know what I look like, I am 6'5". My dreadlocks touch my calves. I usually wear some pretty dope Nike Dunks. That's probably me. Walk up, say hello. I don't want to hear about it. On Tuesday, like, hey, bro, I saw you at a concert on Friday. I should have said hello, but I didn't. Bro, walk up, say hello. I do want to meet you. I do want a fist bump. I want to hear your story. I want to make friends. I'm not a shy guy. I go to those shows to make friends, and it's a party. I'm not there to go hang out alone. So come say what's up. So if I saw you there, fist bump. And if you saw me and you didn't say hello, come say what's up next time. I'm very friendly. I may have been not all in my head during the Phish shows, but nobody was, bro. Come say hello. It doesn't matter. I'll stare you right through you. Maybe I'll still say hello. It'll be a good time. Catch me on Shakedown. We'll take a dab. All right. So I've said hello to all my Phish friends. I talked about the cease and desist letter. I reminded you about the restock at Irie Direct. Now, I think it is time to introduce a new part of the podcast that I'm not sure if I am excited or nervous about, but we're going to learn together here. I get a lot of emails. I get a lot of questions on the podcast. And I do promise that if I read your question here on the show, that I will give you a coupon code for a free pack of seeds at Irie Direct. That has resulted in mountains of printed emails. I've got stacks of paper in different categories. They're all piled up all over this table over here, right off camera. It looks like a paper fortress. I'm exaggerating, but I've got an idea. Many people have told me that I talk too damn much. And guess what? You're right. I talk too damn much, but that's why I've got a podcast. What I'm going to do is I'm going to try to minimize the amount of rambling and chatter on these answers and questions. And I'm going to read a question and I'm going to try to just bang out as many questions as I can in the next few minutes and not give those long, ridiculous, long-winded, repetitive answers I like to give. We're going to try to do a rapid-fire question and answer podcast episode. It's not going to get rapid-fire until we start shooting. So we're going to look at the time. We're at that time. I know how much more time I want to continue the show. And from now, here we go, rapid-fire podcast questions. These questions did come from my website, iriegenetics.com. That's right, iriegenetics.com. There's a row of tabs. One of those tabs says Grow Help or Grow Questions. If you click on that tab, you are given the opportunity to send me a grow question. If you send me a good grow question, and I do read that question here on the podcast, even if it's a rapid-fire quickie, I will send you a coupon code for a free pack of seeds from iriedirect.com. Today's first quickie came from somebody who's going to be called Candyland Stash. I like the name. The question quickly says, hey, Rasta Jeff. Hey, Candyland. It says, I've been growing about 3 years now. All right, that's a good amount of time. I have 6 strains, all right? 3 years, 6 strains. I don't want to lose these strains, but I'm also getting kind of bored and I'm ready for a reset. All right, that's understandable. A few are elite clones and a few are seeds I personally popped. I'm debating on breeding on a breeding project to preserve the genetics and even make my own strain. I'm torn between attempting to feminize one of my 6 and pollinating the room and popping a pack of regs to search for a male. I'm just looking for some experience and some experience guidance on this one. So you've already got plenty of plants and you're thinking about popping another pack to find a male. I wouldn't do that. That's a whole new pheno hunt. That's a whole new project. That could inspire some more inspiration and give you more passion to growing, but I wouldn't add more to this. What I would do, and you're asking for my experience, if this were my room, I were bored with these plants, but I had a couple that I want to preserve, what I would do is I would clone my favorite plant. I would take two clones of the favorite plant. Then I would take all the other plants and put them in the room. I would reverse one clone of the favorite, and then I would pollinate everything with that reversal. Now you've basically got that, your favorite, you've got that in preservation. You've got the S1 of that. Now you've made R1s of everything else, and you're going to find those plants in there somewhere eventually. You can bring that out by searching through that population. So you've basically got everything kind of preserved. All the others are adulterated, but you've got something close to it, and it's crossed to your favorite plant. So you've potentially just made six batches of feminized seeds. If you take your, you said you've got six, right? Six strains. So what you've got is the opportunity to make six different feminized crosses. You could take your favorite plant, take two cuts of that. One's going to become the pollen donor. One will become the receiver. Then the other five favorites of your plants, pollinate them, make seeds out of them. Now you've got plenty of preservation for the future. Now what you're also going to do is inspire yourself. You're going to want to grow those seeds. And now you've given yourself some brand new inspiration, some new energy to go, and then you're not bored, and that reset won't be as long. You'll be more motivated to get over that. All right, I feel like I'm already rambling. This question has gone on longer than I truly intended. I feel like I answered you, bro. Reverse your favorite and pollinate everybody. That's the quick answer. All right, once again, check your inbox, because you do have a coupon code for a free pack of seeds from iredirect.com. Before I read the next one, I do have to remind you to click like and subscribe. That's right. If you like this episode, click like. If you want to see more, you know what to do. Click subscribe. All right. The next question came from somebody who wants to be called John at Dank Perfection. What's up, John? Thank you for the question. It goes like this. I've been enjoying listening to your podcast. Thank you. I've been growing for just a few years, and I try to be like a sponge and soak up the knowledge. Thank you. There's a lot more. I'm skipping to the question. It says, my question is, which of your strains would be best for me to try? Let me tell you what I'm looking for. I would love to find something that is osamine dominant. Well, I can tell you right away, I don't do a lot of lab testing for terpenes, so I can't tell you what's got osamine, but I can answer your question based on the data that you have given me. I worked for a rec farm in Washington that had a strain called Wi-Fi OG, which was Fire OG to the white. I was doing a lot of testing and found that that had off-the-charts osamine. So basically, you're looking for a plant with osamine. Which of your crosses do you think would be similar or have similar effects? Okay, the quick answer there is my Dr. Mindbender cut has Fire OG in it. So anything with the Dr. Mindbender may get you there. What's got Dr. Mindbender, or what's going to be close to that, what may get you there would be the Sunday Show, or also I've got a skunk tester crossed to the Dr. Mindbender that is available on the website now. Dr. Mindbender to skunk number one testers are available. They're at a very affordable price. They're on the website right now. I would grab some of those. That's probably going to get you close. And then also the 4K has got the potential to get you close to that. But Sunday Show and the new skunk tester are what I would recommend to find that osamine and get you as close to that Fire OG as you do. Remember, my dude John, make sure you check your inbox, check that spam folder, because you've got a coupon code for a free pack of seeds at iredirect.com. I like this, you guys. We burned through two messages already. Two people have gotten seeds. We've answered a couple of good questions. Let's keep this rapid fire pace going and see how long I can keep this shit up. All right, this question came from Special KL. I'm not sure, bro. Special K. How about we're going to call you Special K? Now, that's your new motherfucking name. I'm rambling already, fucking this all up. It says, when getting started breeding, when do you use open pollination versus selected individuals? Now, that's a really good question. I quickly have to talk about the difference between open pollination and selective breeding. We're going to do it super quickly. Don't worry. Open pollination, that is when I have multiple males and females, and I let them all just have a big orgy. So the pollen from plant A, B, and C is going to hit female plants 1, 2, and 3 in every combination possible. The pollen from plant A went to 1, 2, and 3. The pollen from plant B also hit those. So we're going to get every combination in the room. That is an open pollination. Why would we do that? That is fun. That shows a lot of diversity. You're going to find all of the different phenotypes that are possible in those genetics. That's the reason for that. You're going to find all the different combinations that may come up in that gene pool. It's a lot of fun. It's also a very viable and useful way to increase your inventory of seeds. So that's a great reason for open pollination. It's going to make a diverse population. Your population is going to be very diverse. You're going to see a bunch of different traits, a whole bunch of different growth, different alleles, if you will, are going to pop up. But if you want to increase traits and inventory and see what that progeny has to offer, open pollination is the way to do it. Individual selective breeding, that is when you are dialing in traits. That is when I want to isolate or highlight traits or even breed out specific traits. So if you want to open up the gene pool and open up the breeding, do that open pollination. If you want to do selection and select for certain things, that's when the selective breeding comes into play. I feel like I answered that one super quickly and just used a whole bunch of fucking weird logic on that one. I hope I answered that one sufficiently. My dude, Special K, check that inbox because you've got a coupon code for a free pack of seeds at iredirect.com. This is kind of fun. I like burning through these messages. It feels like progress, just throwing paper in the burnt it pile. I like that. All right. The next one came from a friend. We're going to call Joey D. What up, Joey D? It's not Joey Diaz, but it is damn close. The message says, "Yo, Rasta Jeff, thank you for all the knowledge. I appreciate all you do, and I've learned so much about everything that has to do with cannabis, plus some life lessons." Bro, that is a great fucking way to open a message to me. Thank you. I appreciate it. It says, "I've been growing 3 years. I got my hands into a little bit of pollen chucking." All right. So after 3 years, you're into a little bit of pollen chucking. That makes sense. It says, "I have a blueberry spice cross I made." That sounds fucking delightful. And it's got a hint of blueberry, but more spice. All right. "Do you think I can cross it to another blueberry strain to add more of the blueberry flavor? Or do I keep hunting through the original cross for a more blueberry-ish plant?" You've got a couple of options here. You can keep hunting through the seeds if you've got a lot of seeds. Find that plant that tastes just like blueberries and then make F2s with that if that's what you want to do, or breed that, reverse it and breed that one to the good phenotype that you've got. You could back cross a phenotype to the original blueberry parent if you've got that original blueberry. I don't know if you have that. I don't know which parents you've got. Or you definitely could find, if you want to add blueberry to it, the easy way to do it will just be finding something with super blueberry terps and breed it to that. If you want blueberry, the answer is breed it to the blueberry. But I would back cross it to the original blueberry parent if you've got that. Just try to, that way you're still working with your original genetics, kind of keeping it in-house, doing your thing, and keep that project alive. Try to not fix it, but update or polish the project you've already made. Try to put that blueberry flavor into there with what you've already got. You know you've got it. You know you've got blueberry. You started with it. Let's see if you can get it in there by using blueberry that you've already got. So I would say back cross it. If you can back cross it to the original blueberry, do that. I'm not sure which was the male, which was the female. I've got minimal info. Or the option is, like you said, go find another super blueberry terp that's just focused on that blueberry terp and breed it to that. Maybe you'll get what you want out of there. That was a super quick answer. Also, Joey D, once again, my bro, check your inbox for a coupon code for a free pack of seeds at iredirect.com. Before I read the next message, I do need to remind you that those coupon codes do expire. Those gift certificates do expire. They come with a clearly labeled expiration date. Yes, I said expiration. We're having fun today. That expiration date is real. It's not a joke. I'm not taunting you. That shit's going to expire. I've got to make them expire. Because for logistical bookkeeping reasons, I can't have free money floating around forever. And also, if you don't use that coupon code, it tells me you didn't even listen to the episode where I read your question, and you're supposed to be listening. All right, where do we go? We've got another question in front of me. Once again, I'm just spitting these answers out as quickly as I can off the top of my head with very little review, so I hope I'm nailing these and giving you guys good, quick answers. Sometimes I don't need to ramble so much, which is what I've started doing now. Let's get focused. This one came from my buddy Dave in Ontario. Shout out to my Canadian friends out there. Sorry I can't send you seeds anymore. Health Canada does not like me. Anyway, this message says, "Rasta Jeff, it's Dave from Canada." What's up, Dave, out there in Canada? It says, "I'm submitting another excellent question for your show." Yes, bro, and I'm sorry I can't send you the seeds, but I do send you a high five and a big fist bump. It says, "I asked this in the breeders chat on Discord if you want to pop in there and chat about it, but the question is," and this is a very good question, "do you find that the pollen donor of a feminized line will more often than not be the dominant phenotype?" So you've got a feminized line, the pollen donor. Do I find that the pollen donor will be the dominant phenotype? Not regularly, not always, not commonly, no. There's a reason for that we're going to talk about in the next line of the question. But no. Most often, no. That's the bottom line on that. No. Then it says, like, out of 100 seeds, 50 or more will be leaning to the pollen donor, or dead ringers of the pollen donor. No, what that means is that your pollen donor is more dominant in the breeding mix than the pollen receivers. Remember when I talked about the Brock Lesnar theory? This is Brock Lesnar theory in practice showing itself right here. You've got a Brock Lesnar pollen donor, and those genes are just dominating the mix, and everything that you make looks like poor Brock Lesnar's daughter. So this is Brock Lesnar theory in action here, in practice showing itself. If you haven't heard that, listen back a few episodes. I don't remember which one it is. We talk about selecting male plants. I labeled something the Brock Lesnar theory. Go listen to that episode. Somebody cut a clip out of it for me and send me a short, please. I'll send you a fucking gift card. We're going to get so many of those. The first one, the best one, is going to get a gift card. I think that leads me to believe that your pollen donor has just got dominant genes and dominant traits in all aspects. Then it says, do you find that regular seeds perform differently? Without reading the rest of the question, I'm going to say no. But then it says, in that with regular seeds, more than 50-50 phenos are likely. Sometimes a phenotype is different, and that's the only thing I'm really going to concede to that I will say is different with FEM seeds. The amount of phenotypical expression is a little bit different. Let me read more of what you're saying. More 50-50 phenos are likely, and the dominant pheno could be either male or the female. That dominant one, like I said, that's going to be Brock Lesnar theory. Whichever, if you've got a really dominant male or dominant female breeding partner, that will pop up, that dominant trait. Those traits will pop up. But let me get myself back on track. Do you find regular seeds perform differently in that with regular seeds? More 50-50 phenos are likely, and the dominant pheno could be either male or female. More phenotype variation. So something I may agree to is that I do see less variation in the feminized seeds, but that's mainly with the selfing of feminized seeds. If I took a golden goat S1, I'm not adding any other genetics to there. So yes, I'm going to see less variation in that, but that is kind of the only way that I think I agree with you on that. What I really think is happening is what I have identified as the Brock Lesnar theory. One of your plants is just simply dominant. You've got a big blonde-haired, blue-eyed dude, and you're breeding it to a bunch of different ladies with different traits. All your babies are coming out with blonde hair, blue eyes. That's just the genetics of that fucking caveman Neanderthal genes you're breeding with there. I think. Let me read this one more quick time. Yeah. You even said it in here where the dominant pheno could be either male or the female. That's all about the gene combos and which plant was dominant. I think I answered that. I think I may have confused myself. I think I may have confused you more, but I feel like I got it covered there. All right, I'm going to take a quick pause, take a quick drink, and then we're going to continue with these rapid fire questions. All right, podcast world, I am hydrated. I am livated. I may have taken a quick dab while we had the camera paused. You will never know what could have happened while I was gone. Let's stay focused. Let's get back into this podcast. Before we do it, let me remind you once again, check out the restock at iredirect.com. That's right, I've replenished many of the sold out items at iredirect. Go check it out before they sell out again. A lot of people complain that things sell out quite quickly. Yes, I apologize. Go check now. They're a shit restocked. Let's get back into this rapid fire episode of the Grow From Your Heart podcast. I'm having fun with this. We're going to bang out two more quick questions. Of course, this question came from that Grow Help tab on iregenetics.com. It came from my new friend, Smitty. Smitty said, hey, I love the podcast and all of the good information. Thank you. I do appreciate that. It says, I have two 2x4 tents, both with living soil beds, and my last grow had an issue with spider mites. Bro, fuck spider mites. I hate spider mites, but we can destroy them. We will win. It said I was able to keep them under control and finish both rounds. Then I cleaned the tents as thoroughly as I thought was needed, but always the good but when it comes to spider mites. This round, the mites have come back. So my question is, what can I do to completely clean my tents between rounds to ensure the mites are wiped out without leaving strange chemicals in my soil? My tents are staggered by about 4 weeks. They're spaced about 15 feet apart. I'm not sure if I'd be safe sanitizing each tent individually. Oh, excuse me for burping at you. I'm not even going to edit that. It's because I took a big fat drink right before I recorded. It says, or if I should let both tents finish and clean them at the same time. I'm growing the Golden Girls pack along with Candylicious in the coming rounds. So all of your help is appreciated. My dude, I think I have got what may be a very viable solution for a person in your situation. You will not have to shut down. You do not have to worry about any weird chemicals, which could get me going on another complete fucking side rant. But what I would recommend are predator insects. I would release a bunch of predator bugs, specific predators in both grow spaces. Especially running perpetual. It sounds like you're kind of running perpetual. You got two tents and they're staggered. They're 4 weeks apart. If you release bugs in both tents, they will stay there and they will stay as protective security guards forever. And you may have to replenish lightly. You can have them delivered on a schedule if you even want to, but you may have to lightly replenish these bugs. But if you get a good population of predator bugs colonized in these grow spaces, you will never have to spray anything and you'll barely ever have to replenish these predators if it is done correctly. So what I would recommend, and this is just a list of predator bugs that you can order from many different vendors and distributors, I'm going to recommend arbicoorganics.com. It's arbicoorganics.com. They do not pay me. I'm not sponsored by them. I'm simply a satisfied customer. I have several friends who have shopped with them. There are plenty of other companies and what are they called? Insectiaries that may be closer to you, but I can recommend Arbico. They've done great work for me before. But the bugs I would recommend are Swarskis, Persimilis, Californicus, Hypoaspis miles, and Green Lacewings. And there's another one, Cucumeris is what I think it's called. That may have been the name of another one. They may have swapped a name. The Cucumeris is one that I forgot to write down that I'll add to that. But we've got the Swarski, Persimilis, Californicus, Hypoaspis miles, Green Lacewings, and Cucumeris. I would release as many of them as you can afford into that grow space, and they will decimate your spider mites. They will destroy the spider mites. Release it into both spaces. You can release that in your flower room without any harm, without any problem at any time, any stage of growth. They will be harmless to your flowers. They will be very beneficial. You can use these at all times. You can use them on your seedlings all the way up to your flowering plants, and they will eat up all of the bugs for you. And then they'll start looking for other bugs, and they'll go further and looking for other bugs. And there aren't any, they'll leave, and then they'll die. And then you'll have to replenish them so that you don't get more spider mites in the future. But this is what I recommend. It's very easy. It's very reliable. And if you don't want to spray shit, if you don't want weird chemicals, which triggers me in its own way, we'll talk about that later in a future episode. But the predator bugs are the way to go. They're a little bit expensive, but if you think about it, they're cost-effective compared to a bottled pesticide rotation. You want two or three different bottles, you're going to have to apply those. I think the bugs will be more effective and cost-effective. One thing I'm going to say, don't use ladybugs because them bitches are fucking lazy. All right, I'm going to read one more message in this rapid-fire podcast, and then what I want from you guys, please, if you would, was leave me some comments in the comment section and let me know what you thought of this rapid-fire show. Do you prefer the long, drawn-out answers when I ramble my face off and give you repeated too much info, or do you like it when I bang through a whole bunch of questions and give you a bunch of info really quickly? I'm curious. I want to know what you think. Argue about it down there in the comment section. This next question came from somebody called My Plants Talk Back. Everybody's plants talk back. You just got to be listening. This question says, I'm getting ready to start my first breeding project. I like that. It says, I don't want my whole crop to be seeded. That's going to be a struggle, my dude. It says, but I want a good amount of seeds to play with and hunt through. On average, how many plants should I pollinate from a reversed female to give me a healthy yield of seeds? Also, any tips on reversing females would be useful. I've done a full podcast on reversing plants. So if you can find that full podcast, we don't have to ramble about it here. We could stay rapid fire. I've purchased the chemicals needed to make STS and I have a recipe. Are there any additives? No, don't add anything to it. Spray it just like it is. You want the silver nitrate, sodium thiosulfate, distilled water. That's all you need. Do you recommend collecting the pollen by hand? No, smack that reversed plant right up against your pollen receiver plants. Just give them a good smack, a good tap if you can. That's the way I would recommend to do it. How long can I store the pollen? No more than a couple of months if you insist. Put the reverse plant in the tent. Yeah. Do I recommend you put the reverse plant in the tent? Yes. Put it right next to them. Let it pollinate and then shake it and then rub it up against the girls when it's time. Thanks. Love your show. Would love to try some of your beans. Keep on growing. Well, my friend, I apologize for rubbing my eye here on the podcast. I got something in the eyeball. I think it was my own dreadlocks. My dude, you do get to try my seeds because you get a coupon code for a free pack of seeds at iredirect.com. The main question here was, I want a good amount of seeds. On average, how many plants should I pollinate? To be honest with you, you can make a lot of seeds from very small plants. When I'm doing a brand new breeding project, if I just want to try something out and make some seeds for myself that you don't get, I will pollinate plants that are in beer cups. What, beer cups? Yes. I will take a male clone and a female clone in a beer cup, and I'll take several of those clones of the females, and I'll put them in a little tiny room, and I'll pollinate them in the corner, and I can hit 5 or 6, 7 or 8 beer cups with one beer cup male, put them right in the middle, hit all those girls, and I can produce 30 to 50, maybe 70 seeds of each one of those plants, and that's plenty for me to play with. So a small beer cup, a 1 gallon pot, is a plenty big enough size plant to make plenty of seeds for you to play with. Beer cups are easy to manage if you understand how to do it. You don't need to veg them very long. Veg it till it's about 3.5, 4.5 inches tall, then flip it, let them do their magic. They will pollinate. You'll make plenty of seeds. 1 gallon pots will make hundreds of seeds. You could produce plenty of seeds to play with in just a small pot in a small amount of time is what I think I'm trying to get to. I was going to ramble on a lot more, but yeah, just one plant will get you plenty of seeds. I recommend pollinating several different females. That way you can see the representation of that male amongst multiple different crosses and see what he is contributing to the breeding. It'll give you more insight to what he's doing. I've rambled about this a lot in other podcasts. This is not the time or place for me to get rambly. Ladies and gentlemen, boys, girls, pimps, hoes, friends, foes, smokers, growers, clone cutters, pollen chuckers, all of you rapid fire podcast listeners, I look forward to your feedback on this episode. Let me know what you thought of this rapid fire show. I tried to bang out as much info as I could in as short a time as I could, get through some of these emails, get you guys some prizes. Everybody that got their message read does get a free pack of seeds. So make sure you check your spam, check your inbox, get those coupon codes, get those beans. But most of all, I look forward to your comments in the comment section. Let me know what you think of this show. Maybe I'll do more quickies. Maybe I'll do more at the regular pace. Maybe I'll mix and match. It's my party, and I'll dab if I want to. All right, it's time for me to wrap up this show. Thank you for hanging out. Make sure you check Irie Direct for that restock. Make sure you check iriegenetics.com for all things Irie Genetics. You will find a link to the Discord server. You will find a link to the Patreon server. You'll find a link to the store where you can buy hats, grinders, rolling trays, t-shirts, and things like that. Everything is at iriegenetics.com. There's a link to Irie Direct where you can get the beans. Make sure you check iriegenetics.com. I think I said that enough times. I think that's all I've got for this episode. I'll be back in a week with fresh new content. I want to give a big shout out to my buddy G-Bay. And until next time, take a fat dab and give your mom a hug for me.
Rasta Jeff, you bad mother.
Time to take another dab. Grab your piece in and hug up on the back. Rasta Jeff is in the lab. Sit back, Pokemon, relax. Hold up.